So this debate about the flavors of charoses that the Olam is having as we get warmed up, so that gets us straight, vaults us right into the sugya. We had left off last time with the difficult sheet of the Bahag. You skip a day, you're out. Tosus was just flabbergasted. Tema gadol v'lo yitachin. The Rush had explained, well, the question is, every day is a new mitzvah. So every day is a new mitzvah. Why would you possibly skip two just because you skipped one? If you miss a day of lulav, Chol Moed Sukkos, you don't therefore miss the rest of the days. Every day is a new mitzvah. Now, Prima Gadim had taken the Rush two steps further. Number one, he had been explicit that that exactly is the bone of contention between the Bayatosis and the Bahag. The Bayatosis hold every day is a new mitzvah. The Prima Gadim said, while the Bahag holds, that it's Kula Chada Mitzvah. All the days are one mitzvah. Okay, so Number Prima Gadim clarified that's the Nekudas Machlokas. And the Prima Gadim also added, as we saw last time, a raya to the Bayatosis. Because if there are 49 mitzvahs, there must be 49 brachos, excuse me, there must be 49 mitzvahs. If it was all one big mitzvah, wouldn't you only have one bracha? That was the kasha, combined kasha of Tosfos, Rush, Prima Gadim against the Bahag. And we left off last time by noting that, again, in your toolbox as a spiral amdanim, you're looking to figure out, well, how could the Bahag disagree with this? Well, how could you answer this kasha, another way of putting it? So you want to think about what are the hanachos, what are the premises that the attack of the Bahag is built on? And then, look, if you have a chair with four legs, you cut away any one of the legs, the chair falls. So you have a kasha built on several hanachos, you cut away any one of the hanachos, the whole kasha falls apart. So let's identify one of the hanachos, and then let's think about how the Bahag might reject one hanacha or another. And so what we began to think about last time is that if you break down the logic of the kasha against the Bahag, we're saying there are 49 separate brachos, therefore there must be 49 separate mitzvos. Therefore, if you miss one day, you should still count the next day. Right? So there are two jumps there. One jump is, if there are 49 brachos, there must therefore be 49 mitzvos. It can't be one mitzvah with multiple brachos. That's hanacha number one. Hanacha number two is the second jump. Since each day night is a separate mitzvah, therefore, there's no reason to skip 14 if you skipped 13. So that's the second leap. That just because there are multiple mitzvahs, therefore, you miss one, you're out. You miss one, you're not out. And that second step seems pretty logical. That had been the Rush's point. After all, I missed benching yesterday. Doesn't mean I should therefore miss benching again today. Okay, we'll have to return to that. For now, we want to think about that first hanacha, the first premise, the first leap, which had not been made explicit by Bayatosis, but had been made explicit by the Prima Gadim. And he had said, well, if there are multiple brachas, it must be there are multiple mitzvahs. Seems logical. Is there a way that the Bahag could disagree with that? If the Bahag could disagree with that, that would be the first defense of the Bahag. In other words, is there a way to say that even though it's one mitzvah, for some reason you have to make multiple brachas? Seems surprising. Prima Gadim made a good point. I don't make a separate bracha on the Esrog, and a separate bracha on the Lulav, or a separate bracha on the Hadassim and Aravos. Usually you assume one mitzvah, one bracha. So is there a way around this? So in order to explore that, we want to take a look at Charosas and at Mor. And let's get into those sugyas a bit. And we'll see they're intriguing, and part of the intrigue circles around the role that bracha, Birkas HaMitzvah play in both of them. So let's begin with Charosas. If you have a Mishnah, you had a chance to see in Kuf Yudal and Amud Aleph. The second Mishnah, Kuf Yudal and Aleph, these both Mishnahs are beginning to take us through the Seder of the Seder, the Seder of Leil Tetzaveh of Nisan. You hear about Mazgul Kos Rishon and saying Kiddush. Machlokas Tanam, exactly how you say Kiddush. And then you hear about Karpas, and you bring out the Ka'ara, Heviyu Lefanav, in the middle of the second Mishnah Kufidah Alf, Heviyu Lefanav, Matzah v'chazeres v'charoses v'shnei tavshilin. They bring out the matzah before you even start magid. You bring out the matzah, you bring out the chazeres, which is the lettuce, the maror, as well as the charoses and the shnei tavshilin. What we call, we use the zroa and the beitza for the shnei tavshilin. Zeichel Pesach, zeichel chagiga. And then the Mishnah comments, you know, you're bringing out the charoses, af al pi she'en charoses mitzvah. You bring out the charoses, even though charoses isn't a mitzvah. Tanu Kama says. Lazar B'tzadik says, no, mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. That's sort of like that. They're like footnotes. That burst about Charosas. And then the Mishnah goes back to continuing what you bring out. The days of Beis HaMikdash, we bring out Mitzvah Shem next year. We should be Zochet to bring out not only Matzah, Chazeres, Charosas, bring out Gufo Shel Pesach. Actually bring out the roasted lamb, and that becomes the halachic centerpiece of the Seder. So what's this about? Charoses, it's not a mitzvah, it is a mitzvah, but either way it's on the table. Either way it's on the table. So to two questions. Well, one question that strikes us right away is, one question I always want to know is, how do we paskin? Machlok sanam, so how do we paskin? But it also gets us thinking, I mean, how do we paskin? How do we paskin what? L'mainav kamina. Either way, you bring out charoses. It is a mitzvah, not a mitzvah. You mean machlokas, how much schar again, shamayim. So that's what Rashi Ray tells you. The Gemara parech v'lav mitzvah, lama ma'isila. It's not a mitzvah, so why talk you bringing it? Why are you bringing it? Oh, what does it mean? It's a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah, so I'm not mechayev to do it. There's no mitzvah of sitting in sukkah today. So it doesn't mean you have to sit in sukkah anyway, it's not a mitzvah. Not a mitzvah is not a mitzvah. But that's not what it means here. Right, so he turns to the Gemara on Kuf Tes Zion. So the Gemara says the four lines from the top. Well, if it's not a mitzvah, Mishum my Maisila. If it's not a mitzvah, so then why are you bringing it at all? So the Gemara explains, well, Amar Rabbi Yami Mishum Kafa. No, the reason why you have to do it, if it's not a mitzvah, means you're doing it for health considerations. Rashi and Rashbam both say, Srafa Chazer is Kasho. There's a certain sharpness, a bitterness to the sap of the lettuce. Yeshbo Aras. It's a little bit toxic. So it's not so healthy to eat so much lettuce. Tell your mother that. The Gemara says it's not healthy to eat salad. Can't have too much vegetables. Our lettuce does not taste like their lettuce tastes, apparently. So the Gemara says, look, according to Tanna Kam, the reason why you have charoses is to neutralize the mild toxin in the lettuce. There's some sort of health concern with eating lettuce. It's going to give you a stomach ache or something worse, maybe. So you dip in charoses to neutralize whatever that aras is, whatever that toxin is. Interesting. The health issue. And the girl goes on to talk about the kafa, this mild toxin in various other foods also. Okay. How do you deal with them? And the Gemara goes on to talk about this idea of zeicher. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Tzadok says mitzvah. So my mitzvah, what do you mean by mitzvah? So first we were wondering, what do you mean not a mitzvah? So when he explained, not a mitzvah, you still need charos according to Tanakama because of the kafa. You have to, Tanakama holds, you use charos for health reasons. So then you get, we start thinking one second. So then, Mitzvah doesn't mean you're mechuyev to. Mitzvah versus non-mitzvah has to do with why you do it, apparently. Either you're doing it for health reasons, or, no, it's your actual mitzvah. So what's the actual mitzvah? So then the Gemara starts to explain, that means it's a zecher to something. A machlok is amaram, zecher to what? Rabbi Levi says zecher to tapuach, Rabbi Yechon says zecher to tit. It's a zecher to the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael, to the fact that, and the Mesiris Nefesh of Klal Yisrael, to keep the generations going, to keep having children, tachas atapuch aratich, or zecher latit, a zecher to the shibud, and the reminders of the mud and the mortar that the Jews were working with while they were avadim to the mitzvah. So Abaye says, well, which one is it? Both. The answer is yes. Hilkach tzarech lekahuye, tzarech lesamuche. You have to give it some tang, and you have to give it some thickness. Zecher, he explains, likahuya has to have some tang, an acidic twist to it. Zecher tapuach. That's zecher tapuach. By the way, there is some machlokas whether tapuach means apples. That's what we usually mean, assume it means. There is a Tosis of Masechet Tanis who thinks that tapuach is a citrus fruit. So that then apples do have some acid in them, but citrus fruits obviously are more acidic. Okay, either way, zecher tapuach, we actually put tapuachim in. And the very least, you'd have to have something that reminds you of a tapuach. You have to have some type of fruity acid. And it has to, you have to give it some thickness. Zecher l'tet. Okay, and then the Gemara goes on to say, there's a brisa that talks about putting in tavlin, zecher l'tevin, putting in the spices to remind you of the straw. That's what the Brisa says. And the Gemara says that's a raya to Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan said zecher latit. And others, Yochanan held the Charos is supposed to be zecher to the shibud. So you have some thickness. You make sure it's a thick sauce. That reminds you of the tit. And it says, Psukim Chumash tell us they use straw. They use tevin in baking the bricks. So you put in spices, not ground up spices. If you have like pieces of cinnamon bark, a strip, or little strips, even if it's mashed up, you have like, you know, strands of something, strands of cinnamon, strands of ginger, something like that. So that's zecher l'tevin. Okay, then you look at Tosis, by the way. Tosis Tzarech moves on more in terms of this idea of zecher. What else could it be a zecher to? The Bavli, it says zecher l'tit, zecher l'tapuach. The Rishalmi, Tosis says, maybe it's zecher l'dam. Zecher l'dam, so that's why, not chalila that we actually put dam in. Jews never eat dam. But you make it, we also not eating tit, we're not eating mud either. We're using nuts to make something that's like mud. So what's going to be a zecher l'dam? You start it thick, and then b'shas achila mekalshno so b'yayin v'chometz. Tosa says you add more wine right before you use it for dipping, so that way over the course of magid, it looks like tit. But then b'shas ma'is, when you dip, it looks a little more like it's a zecher l'dam. Okay. Then Tosa goes on to quote from the Gaonim. And maybe you also want to add those fruits that Shir HaShirim uses to describe Kalal Yisrael. Not only the tapuach, but maybe you should add a rimon and add a pomegranate and add figs and add walnuts. Tosa says maybe you should add almonds. Okay. So what do we have? A lot of details, what we saw in the last few minutes, in the second piece of Gemara and in the Tosas, are many different details under the basic rubric of Charoses is a Zecher. Charoses is a Zecher. Yeah, Shua points out the wine then was thick, but probably still maybe not as thick. They would dilute it before they drank it. So presumably they were putting in a more watery diluted one. So again, the Bavli is telling us, Tana, the idea of Zecher, and that's where Blazer Reb Tzadok, Mitzvah of Charos says is to make a Zecher, the Amoraim debate, what type of Zecher, to the Tit, a Zecher, to the tapuach, a zecher to the dam, maybe a zecher to the fruits that remind us of cholesterol. But overall, those are details, but overall, Rosh Rab Tzadik says it's a mitzvah because the mitzvah is to make a zecher. And again, Mara is also reminds us of the Shibud. So Charosis reminds us of something. No, it's not a mitzvah d'oraisa, but a mitzvah d'rabanan to remind us of something. Well, the Tanna Kamma says, if you have charoses, but it's not a zecher, what is it? It's just the health concern, to neutralize the kafa. Okay. So you look in let's work backwards here. Because the Rambam talks about this in two different places. When he was older, he wrote the Mishnah Torah. When he was younger, perhaps as a preparation for writing the Mishnah Torah, he wrote a Pirush on the Mishnayos. So, but we're going to work backwards. Let's take a look at the Rambam on the Mishnah Torah first. Here, I share that with you. Let me put it on the share screen also. So if you have it printed out or if you have an actual safer, obviously take a look inside. In case you don't, I'll give you the electronic version. Here we go. This is the Pirush Mishnayos. Let's move on for now. I'm sorry, this is sideways. Was the Rambam saying Halach Yud Alef? Should we wait to turn this all sideways? Was the Rambam saying Halach Yud Alef? Charosas mitzvah midivrei sofrim. Charosas is a mitzvah midrabanan. I already spoke about Sipritzi Matzah, Sipritzi Es Mitzrayim, Heseba, Arba Kosos. Now he says Charosas mitzvah midivrei sofrim zecher latit. It's a mitzvah drabanan to remind us of the the mud, the cement that they shahu ovdin bov mitzrayim that the Jews had to work with, and then he gives you the whole recipe. Okay, it's an osinosa. It says you take fruits and you mix it with this, and you mix it with that, and you press it and you shmush it and you make a sauce. Okay, so how's the Rambam paskin? How many psakim did he just give us? How many machloksin just paskan? Exactly. Two machloksin. Number pasim machloks at Tanam, and number two pasim machlokas Amoram. Machloks at Tanam, Tanakamer blows Reb Tzadok, he paskins very clearly mitzvah, right? He was very upfront about that. Mitzvah medivrei sofer. That's Reb blows Reb Tzadok. And then he said, in terms of Rabbi Levi versus Reb Yochanan, paskins like Reb Yochanan. How did he know, by the way, to paskin like Reb Yochanan over Rabbi Levi? What do you say? Based on what we learned, how do you know which time, which Amora to pass like? Nasta Mishnah, I'm not even asking about the Chalukas at Tanam. I'm asking about Chalukas Amoram. We'll get back to Tanam. Right? Reb Yochanan or Reb Levi argue whether it's Reb Levi says it's a Zecher to the Tapuach. Reb Yochanan says it's a Zecher to the Tit. So what prompted Rambam to paskin? We do both. Yeah? Good. So number one, there are probably multiple rules of psak coming into play. Number one, we tend to paskin like Rabbi Yochanan against his chaverim. That's number one. Very good, Kofi. Number two, I think what DJ was saying is not only general rules of psak, but look at our sugya. The Gemara machlokas atanan. And then the Gemara said, Tani kavasi Rabbi Yochanan, with no response. So it sounds like we should pass like a Yechanan. It sounds like Maskan Sasugya is the Tanam of Sapori Yechanan. So we paskin like Reb Yochanan. So that's okay. So that's the Rambam. That's the Rambam. So now and Kairosis, it should be noted, appears in two places. Kairosis appears in two places. Because the Rambam, we just saw the Rambam in Perek Zayin discusses charosis as a separate concept. Remember, we had learned before Pesach, we had learned Perek Zayin. We saw he discussed Sipritzi Es Mitzrayim, and then he got into Haseba, and he got into Arba Kosos, the different elements. So not surprisingly, charosis is also an element. As a matter of fact, probably fits into Chayv Adam Lahar Oses Atzmo, much as Haseba and Arba Kosos. And in any case, Perek Zayin is giving you the different elements of the Seder. Perek Vav was Matzah, Perek Zayin Sibitzis, Mitzrayim, and Haseba, and Arba Kosos. Charos says at the end, right over here, Halachas Yubez Yud Gimel, he talks about Maror. So those two problems give me the separate element, the separate mitzvahs. Perek Ches, the Rambam now turns his attention to what, how do you put all these pieces together? You see, the beginning of Perek Ches, Sidur Asiyas Mitzvahs Elu B'Lel Chamisha Asar Kachu. How do you organize the Seder, the Sidur? How are you misader all these mitzvahs? Matzah, Sipritias and Sraim, Heseba, Arbakosos, Charoses, Maror, those six pieces, here's how it actually works. He begins to quote all the Mishnahis in Arvei Pesachim. B'tchila mozgin kos l'chol echav yechad, and you say bar pri hagefen, you say kiddush, bar pri hagefen, and the bracha of kiddush. Then he takes you through karpas. The Rambam held you do make an alon tilos adayim and urchatz, and then they bring out the whole table. You have the mara and yerek acher. Right, bring out the ka'ara. He takes you through, and so on and so forth. And interesting. He presents. You bring out the karm pesach. Bizman hazeh, you don't bring out the karm pesach. That's an important perspective. Fundamentally, you're supposed to have a Karban Pesach. Bizman hazeh is the exception to the rule. That's not the rule. Right? Okay. Then he continues to talk, and Charos is going to appear here. Watch. Halacha Beis. Now we're up to Karpas. Maskel Mavar, we just had Urchatz, and we had to bring out the Ka'ara. Rama brought the Ka'ara at that point. Maskel Mavar Bar Pri Adama. Lokeach yerek, okay, you take your karpas, make a bar pi adama, and mitabel, also what do you dip it into? Charoses. Not into the meimelach. He dipped into charoses. As an aside, he also ate a kazayas. Okay. But there are a lot of differences between many machloks rishonim about the details of the Seder, and a lot of interesting sheets of the Rambam, but focusing not on the kazayas and not on the kezias right now, but on the charoses. So you dip the karpas in the charoses. Interesting. And later on, then he gets into the whole magid. Okay, it takes you through magid, the different steps of magid. We discussed that before Yom Tov, the different aspects that make Sipri Tzias Mitzrayim unique and different from Zechira. It takes you through all that. And then he says, your korach matzu mara, and you dip them in the charoses. So you had korach as an option. Or if you're going to eat the matzu bit from the atzu mara, and if you have to eat them separately, he says you make your bracha separately. Here we go. You have no korban pesach. So what are you going to do without a korban pesach? Lachaches. V'zman zeh shein shem korban acher. Shein shem carbon. We have no carbon. Acher shemivarcha motzi lechem. Chos mivarcha alchilas matzah. Okay, that's what we're used to. Umetabel matzah bacharoses v'ochel. That's not what we're used to. Because you dip the matzah in the charoses. You dip the maror in the charoses. Everything is getting dipped in charoses for the Rambam. Charoses is everywhere. Wow. Fascinating. Very fascinating. So that's the Rambam's presentation in Mishnah Torah. Charos is a mitzvah divrei so from Zechelotit, and you use it very extensively. Everything gets karpas goes in the charoses, the matzah goes in the charoses, the maror goes in the charoses. It's all over the place. Now, let's look back at the Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayos. The Rambam Pirush Mishnayos. Here's the Mishnah. So Rambam spends has a long discussion about how you make charoses, and there are some differences even in terms of the way he describes the charoses, in terms of how you make it. Specifically, in the Perush HaMishnayos, he quotes both Rabbi Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. He says it has chamitzos, tzarech l'kahuye, it has some acidic angle to it, and also Ke'ein Tevin, Zeich L'Tit. Okay. A different perspective on the recipe. But then, let's move further. He talks about what you put in it, fruits, and you mash it in mortar and pestle, and you put in different spices. Okay. Rabbi Tzadok, Sha'omer Charosas Mitzvah, Rabbi Tzadok, that's his Girsa, not Rabbi Tzadok, but Rabbi Tzadok, who says the charis is a mitzvah, chayiv ledato levar hasher kisham sosef etzivanu al chilas charoses. He holds you make a bracha on charoses. The ein halacha, but we don't. What would ein halacha mean? That's not the halacha. Meaning, not that what he said about Reb Tzadok is incorrect, but that we don't pass like Reb Tzadok. Reb Tzadok would make a bracha. Okay, we happen to not to pass like Reb Tzadok. That's why we don't make a bracha. That's why we don't make a bracha. That's why we don't make a bracha. Really fascinating. So then, notice that Caitlin pointed out there's a double stira between the Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayos we just saw, and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah, which we spent time on. Can you give me 2 points of difference? Shoot me a text. Shoot me a chat. 2 points of difference between the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos and the Rambam and Mishnah Torah. What do you say? Let's hear some responses, Chaver. I'm sorry? Okay. Oh, good. Good. So number one, the most obvious thing is how do you paskin like? Right? He's very explicit in the Pirush HaMishnayos. He does not paskin it's a mitzvah. As Rabbi Tzadok says that, Rabbi Tzadok says, but we don't paskin like him. Right? While in the Mishnah Torah, he was almost totally explicit that it is a mitzvah. Right? Hacharos is a mitzvah divrei sofrim. So he switched the psak. But it's not only a question of hachra, which tana he paskins like which switch, but also, more subtly, is what does it mean to say mitzvah versus not mitzvah? Because see, in the Pirush HaMishnayos, he had said that if you say mitzvah, then you would make a bracha. He says, it happens to me, we don't make a bracha, we don't pass like Lazar B'tzadik. Right? But here's the thing, in the Mishnah Torah, he does pass like Lazar B'tzadik, but there's still no bracha. You go through Perek Zayin, Halach Yiralf, you go through Perek Ches. He has all the other brachas there. He never says has a bracha on Al Achilas Charoses. So not only did he change which Tanah he paskins like, he also changed what his understanding of what the Tanaim are saying. In other words, in the Pirush HaMishnayos, he held that if it's a mitzvah, it has to have a bracha. Mishnah Torah said it's a mitzvah, but there's still no bracha. That's interesting. So what changed there? As a matter of fact, you know, in the Pirush HaMishnayos, he's even giving sort of another answer to the question of the Bavli. Well, what difference does l'may nafka mean a mitzvah, not mitzvah? Either way, you have to have it. So in the Pirush HaMishnayos, he's giving an answer that bracha. I don't want to get into this angle now, but that might be the sheet of the Yerushalmi. It could be part of what's going on here from Pirush HaMishnayos to Mishnah Torah is a shift from the focus on the Bavli to focus on Yerushalmi. But either way, let's zero in on the following point. In the Pirush HaMishnayos, he made the assumption that if it's a mitzvah, there has to be a bracha, because after all, that's the rule. That's what Shmuel tells us many places throughout Shas. Kol mitzvahs kul mevarach alein over lasi asan. Right? We looked at this earlier in the year. And now, all of a sudden, in Mishnah Torah, he says, no, it's a mitzvah, but there's still no bracha. Why? What changed? He had a good point in the Pirush HaMishnayos. If it's a mitzvah, there should be a bracha. So the Rav suggested the answer lies in a careful reading of the language of the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos. You see, here this is an intriguing type of contrast. Um, Because as we saw, you know, Periches, he puts all the pieces of the puzzle together and actually shows you how a Seder works step by step. We saw a lot about charoses. Right? The karpos gets dipped in the charoses, bizmanazah, the matzah gets dipped in the charoses, and the mar gets dipped in the charoses. Bizman karm pesel, the Rambam held you could eat the matzah mar together. You have that option that you dip them together into the charoses. There's so much action with the charoses in Perek Ches. However, if you look in Perek Zion, it's intriguing. When he gives you the basic concept of what is charoses, what's missing from the description of the mitzvah of charoses? Perek Zayin Halach Yudalf. It's up on the screen. What's missing, ironically? What verb does not appear at all? What does he never tell you when he describes the mitzvah of charoses? Anyone want to chat me? What? Dipping. He never says anything about dipping. Periches, he's dipping in charoses all night long. And Ram tells the periches, everything gets dipped in charoses except for Karim Pesach. You almost feel like if he could, he would have dipped the arbacosis in the charoses also. Right? The carpus goes in charoses, the masa goes in charoses, the maro goes in charoses, everything's going in charoses. There's so much tibul. So much tibul. And yet, if you look in Halacha Yudalef, in Perek Zayin, when he actually defines what the mitzvah is, nary a word about tibul. What does he say? Charoses mitzvah divrei sofrim, zeich lotet. Okay. So he tells you how you make charoses. It's a mitzvah zeich lotet. And here's the recipe. And then what do you do with it? The recipe that's happening before Pesach. Probably. And you bring it to the table at Leila Seder. He never says you dip. He just says you bring it. So the Rav suggested, Rav Shechter writes this up very beautifully in the middle of Siman Gimel in Eretz Tzvi. So the Rav suggested, apparently, we do a lot of dipping, but fundamentally the mitzvah of charoses, Lofi HaRabba in the Mishnah Torah, is not the dipping. It's having it there. The mitzvah is mevin osa al shulchan, to have it there. What do you mean to have it there? Zecher latet. It's a zecher. So it's really, I hesitate to say it, it's not a museum piece, but it's like an art piece. And fundamentally, the mitzvah is to display it, to have it there. So lemaase, apparently, we want you to interact with it as much as possible. So Chazal said dip. And the Rambam says, and Rambam understood the dipping to be more robust and more frequent than any other Rishon. A lot of dipping. But ironically, despite the fact that Rambam says, you practically speaking, you dip into it plenty, that's not actually the core Maisa mitzvah. The core Maisa mitzvah really is just the having. It's a mitzvah to have it there. That's the... That's muso, it's a mitzvah of having it there, of mivino sal shulchan. And you want to make the having it there as significant, as substantive as possible, so you dip. And you do a lot of dipping. They basically miss it to have it there. Oh. Oh. So this takes us back. So that's really fascinating. It's a fascinating diuk in Rambam on its own. Noticing the stark difference between Perek Zayin and Perek Ches, almost ironic opposites. And the way the Rav explained what that means. And then he said, this diuk sheds light also into what's it called? This diuk sheds light also into the problem of what happened to the bracha. Because you'll remember, this is something that we developed in earlier, when we learned the first pack of Chulin, the notion that Birkas HaMitzvahs, when Chazal were Mesakin Birkas HaMitzvahs, they were Mesakin them specifically in the context, in conjunction with the Maisa HaMitzvah, not the Kiyam HaMitzvah. So the Rav suggested as follows. You know, the Rishonim discuss which mitzvahs have brachas and which mitzvahs don't have brachas. We know there are many mitzvahs that make brachas on. like we don't make a bracha on kibbutz aveim, we don't make a bracha on emuna, we don't make a bracha on saying, we don't make a bracha on mitzvah and saying kriyat shema generally, or maybe never. We make a different type of bracha, but not because of mitzvah. Now, share kishon is also mitzivano. We don't make a bracha on tzedakah. So we show them, discuss when do we, why do we sometimes make brachas and sometimes not. And when you look at the ideas we show them give to differentiate which mitzvahs yes, which mitzvahs no, a number of them seem to have to do with is there a well defined maisa mitzvah? Netilas lulav is a well-defined act. Netilas adayim is a well-defined act. Wearing tzitzis is a pretty well-defined act. Eating matzah is a pretty well-defined action. Kibbutz aveim could take 1,000 different forms. Depends what your parents are asking of you. Tzedakah could take so many different forms. So those mitzvahs which are more fluidly defined, they don't have a clearly, sharply defined maisa, there's no bracha. And again, just as Rav suggested that who makes the bracha, it's the one who's doing the ma'isa. If I put up mezuzah in your house, I make the bracha, because I'm doing the ma'isa, even though it's your kiyum mitzvah. So whether or not you make a bracha on a mitzvah has to do with how well defined an act it is. Kibbutz aveim, there's so many different possible ma'isa. Charo says, what is the mitzvah? So here's the irony. Despite the fact the Rambam mandated a lot of dipping, but the mitzvah itself is not the dipping. The mitzvah itself is having it there. Having it there is not a maisa at all. So mamela, there's no bracha. You saw the rush by Maror. Shagasari is very bothered by the rush by Maror. The rush seems to say that the reason why you have have to have a kezayis is because the bracha is al achilas mar. Sounds like, because achila is bekezayis. Right? The Gemara says you have to eat kezayis bechtei achilas pras, Gemara kuf yidal. The Rosh writes a simon chafe, Meshum de mevarach al achilas marar, sarach shiachol kezayis, ein achila pchusa mi kezayis. Since you make an al achilas marar, you have to eat a kezayis. Shagazari says, what do you mean? You only have to eat a kezayis because of the nusach habracha? Isn't it pasuk in chumash? Al masas and pasuk in chumash. Achila. It's because of the bracha? So why didn't Chazal just not make the bracha al achilas marar? You wouldn't have to eat a kezayis amar. A strange rush. So the Rav suggested, he doesn't mean so much the nusach of Allah, because the brachas use the word achila, so you better make sure to do an achila. No. The Rav suggests what the rush means is like this. We're not talking about mar deraisa. We're talking about mar bezman zeh midrabanan. We don't have a karm pesach, mar is midrabanan. What? Zecher to the real mar. So what does zecher mean? What were chazal masakin? Were they masakin to actually eat maror, to do a full achilas maror, or just to have a little taste as a zecher? So the Rav suggested what the Rav should say, not just a nusach habracha. The very fact that we make a bracha at all, bizman hazeh, on maror, indicates that there's a well-defined maisa mitzvah, not just to have a zecher. You're actually doing a maisa achilas maror. Maisa achila is a full kazayas. So what's emerging from both Charoses and Maror is that the presence of a bracha indicates that there's a well-defined Ma'aseh Mitzvah. Right? Because again, Chazal Masakin brachas on Ma'aseh Mitzvah. So let's take it one step further, and then we'll pause here for today. Kishem that Birkas HaMitzvah relate to the Ma'aseh, and therefore it impacts the question of who makes the bracha, the one who does the ma'isa, number one. Number two, it impacts the question of which mitzvos call for brachos, only those mitzvos with a well-defined ma'isa mitzvah. Maror, yes, but charos says no, according to Rambam, because mevi'in osar l'shulchan, just a mitzvah of having it there. So not only does this impact who makes the bracha and which mitzvos get a bracha, it could also impact how many brachos you make. because this idea that the Rav developed allows us to drive a wedge into the logic of the Prima Gadim. I mean, the first of the two hanachas that the Kashna Bahag is built on is that what Prima Gadim said briefly but explicitly, well, if there are 49 brachas, obviously there are 49 mitzvahs. Why would you want to have multiple brachos on a single mitzvah? So the Rav suggested the first teretz to the Prima Gadim is not so fast. Maybe there could be multiple brachas on one mitzvah if it's multiple maaseh mitzvah. If birkas ha-mitzvah always relate to the maaseh mitzvah, the person who does the maaseh mitzvah is the one who says the bracha. And only the type of mitzvah that has a well-defined maaseh is going to have a bracha. Let's say you have a mitzvah which not only has one well-defined maaseh, it has 49 well-defined maaseh. So maybe it's one kiyum ha-mitzvah with 49 maaseh mitzvah, it's going to be 49 brachos. Lulav and Esrog Hadassah Maravas, it's a single maisa of picking up all four. You don't pick them up separately. And even if the din were to be that you're allowed to pick them up separately, even if we can imagine you'd be allowed to pick them up separately, but you wouldn't have to pick them up separately. But here, you have 49 maisa mitzvah. Let's say there's one big mitzvah of counting all the way from beginning to end. But there are 49 separate maisim. I have to count one, I have to count two, I have to count three, I have to count four. And to demonstrate that there are 49 very distinct and separate maisim, zmano shel zeh, lo kizmano shel zeh. You cannot do them at the same time. Right? There's no way you could simultaneously count 32 and 33. Either it's day 32 or it's day 33. So yes, it's one big mitzvah, but 49 parts to it, and 49 very distinct inseparable parts. This is Mano Shazelo, Kizmano Shazem. So that's what the Rav suggested. Our first answer for the Bahag is to attack the first Hanacha. The Bahag says, yes, there are 49 mitzvahs, 49 brachas, but that doesn't mean there are 49 mitzvahs. It just means there are 49 maaseh mitzvah. 49 separate, distinct maaseh mitzvah. Everyone agrees, even Tosis agrees, there are 49 maaseh mitzvah. So the Bahag says, that's why you make 49 brachas. But it's one mitzvah, one kiyum mitzvah. Those 49 maisim add up to one kiyum mitzvah. So if I'm missing any one ingredient, I'm out. So that's the Rav's first suggestion. The mitzvah is to do all 49 maisim. So once I miss day 32, there's no point in counting day 33. I won't get the mitzvah anyways. But when I am doing it properly, when I'm doing all 49 maisim, so it's 49 maisim, they add up to one kiyum mitzvah. 49 maisim equals 49 brachas, rooted in this idea that the takana of the Rav, that the takana of Birkas HaMitzvah relates specifically to the Maisa Mitzvah, not to the Kima Mitzvah. And with again, that explains who makes the bracha, that explains which mitzvahs call for a bracha, and here it explains how many brachos you're going to make on a given mitzvah. One Kima Mitzvah, but 49 Maisa Mitzvah is going to translate into 49 brachos. Mirat Hashem, next time we're going to continue by developing a second new approach to Bimyash with Bahag by looking at the second Hanacha that the Kashna Bahag is based on. Rabosai, have a marvelous, marvelous day. Enjoy Bikis. Enjoy the rest of the day. I'm looking forward to getting together Mitzvah tomorrow. Looking forward to Shmuz with the Chevra 101 and to getting together for Shir Mitzvah again tomorrow morning. Kuzri, Haseba, more things, Kuzri and Sfiras Omer, more things coming our way.